Welcome to another podcast and a video series from the IAB. So today I'm speaking with Janet Beetham, and she is all about neurodiversity. So you've heard about diversity in the workplace in terms of different cultures, different genders, that kind of thing. Well, this is different. This is about neurodiversity. So Janet Beetham is the founder of Rights Resources, and she's a qualified business professional experienced in the delivery of business advice, personal development and support services in relation to processing differences such as dyslexia, ADHD, dyscalculia, autism spectrum condition and dyspraxia. Jeanette herself is dyslexic. It's a great interview. It is something we all need to get on board with, because there's a lot of people out there who maybe have dyslexia. And in fact, some of the world's top entrepreneurs, Richard Branson, for example, is dyslexic. So it's worth getting on board, and I hope you enjoy this interview. Let's go over to it now. Jeanette Beetham, welcome to the video and podcast series. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, nice to see you, Simon.
So tell me all about, because, okay, so just rewind a sec. So a lot of people know about inclusion and diversity. You know, it's about having people from all races, all genders in the workplace. But not many people know about neurodiversity. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think if I start by saying the word dyslexia, then most people will have heard of that.
Yeah.
But what's not known about dyslexia isn't purely about challenges with reading and writing. Yeah. So I'll start with that. But as well as dyslexia, and the fact that these individuals process information in a different way, there are a whole host of different processing differences that have, and the way that people process information with research over time have been given different labels, as it were. So the other things that people may or may not have heard of: autism spectrum, dyscalculia.
Yeah.
ADHD, dyspraxia, which is now more commonly called or referred to as developmental coordination disorder, or DCD. And these are some of the ones that are more sort of well known, as it were. These are neurodivergent conditions.
Right.
So if you look at, there's a lot of confusion around the word neurodiversity, actually, because people, if they've heard of it, they might think it means autism, for example, because the first time it was actually documented was by a social scientist called Judy Singer, an Australian social scientist. And she's on the autism spectrum herself, but also in her thesis that focused predominantly on autism, she used the word. And it was used also around about the same time by a journalist, Harvey Bloom, in a magazine called The Atlantic. And at the time, because it was kind of linked with autism, it was almost adopted by the autism movement, as it were.
Right.
So there's still people who think neurodiversity purely relates to autism. Okay, so we've gone, but what we really know is if you look at the word neurodiversity and break it down, neuro related to the brain and the nervous system, and diversity as in various different
variations.
Forms.
So
if you look at biodiversity, biodiversity means everything on the planet, and neurodiversity means everything. So if you think about a workplace will be neurodiverse because you will have everyone's brain is different, but then some people's processing is different from the majority. So those are the neurodivergent individuals. So I'll stop now, but hopefully that gives you
No, that's brilliant. I think my brain changed from day to day sometimes. I'm thinking it was an age thing. So how can people watching this how can they make sure that they are, because it is becoming, am I right in saying it's becoming law that you need to have neurodiversity?
Well, neurodiversity is there all the time. I mean, there is, every brain is different, some more different than others.
Yeah.
What we need to do, certainly if we're looking at it, I mean, if we're looking at a human perspective, we need to provide people with the support that they need.
Right.
Not everybody will need support.
Yeah.
And that very much depends on the environment that they're in.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. So if, for example, you're a very practical, hands-on person using your creativity and you're dyslexic, chances are there's common strengths associated with dyslexia. Everyone will be different, but we know the common strengths are creativity, creative thinking, innovative, big picture thinking, practical and hands-on. So chances are you're using those sort of skills and strength areas. But it's when maybe you get some promotion and then you're having to take on maybe budgets, maybe you're having to do report writing, that actually your challenges then become a barrier to you moving on. Yeah. So for a workplace perspective, you want to get the best out of everyone.
Yeah.
So therefore, you ideally would make the processes as neuro-inclusive as possible by looking at, okay, how can we make things as accessible as possible for everyone, if you know what I mean?
No, is it a bit, you know, you've got all these different personality types. Is it kind of like that? You know, with DISC, that's one of them. There's lots of different ones. I mean, that's personality types, but this is a bit different, I suppose.
Yeah, it cuts through everything. It cuts across everything. It cuts across... For most people, it's a genetic predisposition. So that means that either one or both of birth parents will have similar characteristics, but to lesser or greater degree, so it will vary. It doesn't discriminate. It can affect, quite often, there's a stigma associated with some of these. And some, certainly the dyslexia one, it's, historically, people may have been in the special needs class or something like that, and that may not have been the right place for them. They probably just needed delivery to be in a different way for them.
Yeah.
But there is, unfortunately, still a stigma that comes with it, that people, it has a relationship, or it correlates with IQ, global ability. Most definitely not that. Mm. You can be, and I mean this in a nice way, but you could be not very bright and be dyslexic. You can be very bright and be dyslexic.
Right.
I'm working with doctors and professors as well as at the same time as I'm working with people doing basic admin, clerical type roles.
Yeah.
It doesn't discriminate. And so you can be any personality type, as it were, and have a neurodivergent condition.
I remember interviewing someone years ago, Gordon Mack, who started up Kiss FM, if any of the viewers remember that. It's still going very well. He's started up another one now. I remember in the interview, because he was telling me about his school years, and I said, Gordon, you dyslexic by any chance? I said, yeah, how do you know that? I said, just because of how you were at school, and I think it just comes out. I mean, Richard Branson's dyslexic. Why is the word dyslexic such a difficult word to spell?
I know.
That about? But they're playing a trick. So if someone's... start again. That's an age thing as well. And they realise, actually, engage brain before speaking. What can people do to look at where they're going in the business? If they're taking on new staff or they're promoting people? Because, you see people coming up through the ranks, and suddenly they take on a leadership role, and it can completely floor them. They might think, I'm not set up for this. I don't have the mental capacity. They wanted it, but now they've got it. It's suddenly, it's a lot of planning, certainly financial. Then that could really struggle. So what would they do? What can happen in that situation?
Well, ideally, and I know you asked me, you know, the legal side of things, or you sort of said, you know, what should businesses do? Well, it really depends what country you're in as to what's, you know, what the legal situation is. If we take it from the UK's perspective on this, you can apply for something called a workplace needs assessment. Ideally, have a screening first, looking at sort of your profile, as it were, right, to kind of see where your strengths and where your weaker areas or challenges. I prefer to use the word challenges, really, because we can overcome challenges. You know, it's all. I think I'm really keen to use more positive language around this, because, you know, so often it's been seen as a negative, but actually these strengths are what we need to actually drive us forward. People who think differently are the ones that change the world, you know. Absolutely, and yeah. And you know, that sounds very grandiose, but it's true. We all think the same. We're not going to move, and mankind will not, or humankind will not have evolved. So yes, we do need people who think differently. So people can apply for a workplace needs assessment. If we backtrack from that, though, back from there a little bit, if we're in work environments that are supportive, and their processes and whatnot are more accessible, more people will be able to cope, and that more people will be able to cope with more of the things, and there will only be challenges with some of the things, if you see what I mean. So because I can be working with people, I can do a workplace needs assessment, I can do strategy coaching with them, we can get it all tailored. It has to be person-centered. There's no one size fits all. It's people stuff, you know, it really is so important. And really for a lot of people, it's very emotional when they realize why they've been struggling. You know, why didn't I find out before? Why has no one spotted this before? Yeah. And it goes right to the core.
Surely. Yeah. A big relief going, wow, that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. And so it's how it's handled. But you can do everything like that. But if someone isn't in a supportive environment, nothing's going to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a growing number of organizations that are realizing that actually it's about culture.
Yeah.
It's about awareness. It's about being knowledgeable. Because, again, in the UK, under the Equality Act, employing organizations, should be taking an anticipatory approach when it comes to any performance issues.
Yeah.
But you have to say, how can they take an anticipatory approach if they don't understand what neurodiversity is, what it isn't, what neurodivergent conditions are in terms of their strengths and their challenges, and what are the things to kind of look out for, or the signs, so that you can, and also having the listening skills and communication skills to be able to have those quite sensitive conversations with people.
So, Jeanette, they've been promoted, they've gone up the ladder, and suddenly they're finding this they just can't process it. They can't do it. Is there something they can do, where to go and say, look, I'm really struggling with this, I need a bit of support? I mean, if maybe the company they're working for don't supply that at the moment, what was the organisation you said that they can, or what can they do? Maybe it's a fact finding mission. Maybe they just think something just doesn't feel, I'm not really good in this role.
It depends where you are, which organization you're in. What tends to happen, Simon, is that someone will, if they're in a new job, or they've been certainly promotion is a key challenge where this kind of shows itself quite often, is that someone's doing really well in the job, so they get promoted. They're probably in that role 3 months, 6 months, when they then thinking, actually, I'm wading through treacle here.
Yeah.
Why am I not coping? Don't know what to do. And it can be really tricky to be out of your depth with people that you know. And quite often people will look for another job because it's easier to be the new person somewhere else than it is to be out of your depth in an organization done very well, you know.
Yeah.
So the organization is at risk of losing someone really, really valuable. They've got that, you know, that knowledge capital, you know, that they, and then how much does it cost to recruit, retrain, all of that? So there's that. And people, organisations that are realising that are getting more switched on to, okay, what can we do to not only attract, but retain, engage and everything else. For that individual, they ideally should look on their company website and see if there's any mention of neurodiversity, neurodivergent conditions, yeah, dyslexia, autism. Look for any of those kind of, and see if there's been any support, if there's any support internally. What I would also say is look externally and see about anything linked to the company that's either positive or negative around those things. And then that can give you an informed decision about whether to reach out to your line manager, HR, or if you've got a diversity and inclusion team. If there's nothing, it's quite a lonely place.
Yeah.
And nobody should be struggling in silence, because we know that the longer term it impacts on well-being and mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
The longer you leave it, the worse it becomes.
Yeah.
And you really don't want people seeking support as a last resort. What we really want within organisations is people to feel that they're taking a proactive approach to helping them realise and fulfil their potential, you know. But and that's what would happen in an ideal situation and an ideal world, but that's not the case in lots of organisations. I would say to people, and this is not a plug, but, you know, link with me on LinkedIn. Send me a message, ask me a question, depending on what I feel is the right, might work for you next. I will signpost you. I won't be saying, oh, I do screening, you know, I review and whatever. I won't be selling that to them. If I feel I'm the right person, I will say that to them. Otherwise, I will signpost them.
Well, we put all the links on this anyway. So just briefly, tell me, what do you do? What do you do to go into companies? How do you work? Tell the viewers that.
What do I do? Well, it varies from day to day. Having struggled with my own neurodivergence, not realising what was happening with me, for too many years I struggled and it impacted on my mental health and everything else. Mm. When I got involved in this area, what I was doing was I was going out delivering awareness training. I was working in schools, colleges, universities, workplaces. I was delivering training to teachers, parents, governors, and really enjoyed all of that. But workplace has always been my challenge, my passion. And so I do workplace needs assessments. I do screening, where I then do a half an hour review of the screening results with the person and then give them guidance and signposting on what they can do next. It may well be a workplace needs assessment with me. And I also do strategy coaching. So one-to-one, looking at the individual, their job, their environment, and actually helping them to come up with strategies to help them cope more effectively. Okay. But what we all need, first of all, is a good foundation of self-knowledge.
Yeah.
Why am I struggling with this? Why are some things more difficult for me to do? Why is it now?
And it's important to have the support. Yeah.
Yeah, and then building on that, so that you're then in a much better place to build more effective strategies for yourself in the future.
Absolutely, yeah. Once you know, you can then bring in the right support or whatever it be. Yes, brilliant. Now it is important. I'm really pleased because I'm interviewing two other guys, and they're about inclusion and diversity. A guy called Dexter and Javid, and that's what they do. It's really interesting. So it's a black guy and an Indian guy. And in fact, the Indian guy, Javid, he calls himself Blindian. So it's black and Indian.
Great, love that.
But yeah, they talk, you know, they're very successful in their own right and they've come together. So this is, it's almost, I spoke to another guy, Mark Freed. He was talking about inclusion of women in the workplace.
Yeah.
And men as well. Really interesting. And it's the way it's going. So people watching this, if you're not on board, you're going to have to be.
Yeah.
It's really important. So
yes, we Sorry, I just wanted to say something that's really, really interesting that you've got all these, you know, diverse people coming on your programme. And intersectionality is such an important subject. You know, we used to raise awareness in almost in silos. We used to, like, it was dyslexia, it was dyscalculia, it was autism. Now we're talking more about neurodivergence. We also, why the person-centred approach is so important, because you could be Black, Indian, female, physical disability, and neurodivergent. So that's why person-centered support is so important.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do is I do the actual group training as well about helping line managers to be more neuro-inclusive in what they do on a day-to-day basis. Because if you think about it, not every teacher will have benefited from awareness training, even on dyslexia, which seems quite shocking, really. So how can we expect line managers to know what to do if they haven't had the appropriate training to equip them for this?
Yeah.
So the reason why I still do the one-to-one stuff is because I want to keep it real.
Yeah.
And so that I can actually share those genuine scenarios when I'm delivering the training with line managers and those key decision makers within organisations, you know, the people who are looking at policy and process. Yeah. So I do that as well. Sorry to interrupt.
No, no, not at all. Listen, this is all about you. So
is it? Oh. It's all about you. You wouldn't know.
So three questions. Tell me something not many people know about you.
When I left university, I was really desperate. As a mature student, having studied hard, two young children at home, nearly giving up after the first 3 months at uni because of my struggles. When I finally finished, got a really good degree result, which surprised me like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a job. And because I'd studied service management, service marketing, I needed to get a job in my head. In an area of high unemployment, I was struggling to find a job, and I needed to find a job that had service in its title. And I found a service manager job.
Right.
And I was a service manager overseeing a team of plumbers working nationally installing waterless urinals.
Brilliant.
That's a way to launch a career, isn't it?
Absolutely. Listen, that's going to be done. Fantastic. Love it, love it. Okay, so it's your last day on Earth. Everything you've recorded, written, this interview, all of these things have disappeared. You can leave one piece of advice to leave the world. What would it be?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Don't think about it too much.
Live a life less ordinary.
I like that very much. I like that very much. Yeah, that appeals to my adventurous side. Yeah, I love that.
Really.
Yeah. The last lot of people have actually talked about love. It's like love more, show more. Like, just yeah, really nice. So I like that one as well. Very nice. I love it because if I prepare you, then you know people just they'll come up with something grandiose, but it's from the heart. So tell me, how can people find out more about you? Where can they connect with you? You've talked about LinkedIn, but what's the website address?
It's right-resources.org.uk. And yeah, on LinkedIn, it'd be great. I mean, I love it when people ask me questions and if I can help you, but I mean, for me, as I say, the main thing is that no one should be struggling in silence.
Yeah.
I think what's out there in terms of people's skills, potential, ideas that haven't been discovered, we haven't been able to utilise yet because people don't feel supported. And I feel that's really, really important, that people feel that there is somewhere that they can reach out to if they've got questions. And, you know, I will do my best, as I say, either signposting to where I believe the next step should be for them or whatever. But we shouldn't feel that we're alone, especially now.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Janet Beetham, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Simon. Thank you. And I hope it wasn't a bit of a sort of monotribe at one stage, but when I get it's difficult to get me off. So
no, I can see your passion in it. It's fantastic. So that's it, viewers, for this episode. Stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and also if you're listening on Spotify as well. This gets converted into a podcast. Until next time, take care. Goodbye.